The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. Teacher, they said, we know that you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who says what. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar? And he said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and to God what belongs to God. This is the text. You may be seated. Yeah, right. Is it right to pay taxes? This question posed by the flunkies that the Pharisees sent out to try to trap Jesus has malice written all over it, doesn't it? You right away know that there is something behind this, that this is not for real. They were trying to trap Jesus in his word. And their rationale was this: since you are a man of God, you could care less about the world. You don't even care what people think or say about you. Right, that was Jesus, because he is God, he is Lord. He could care less of your opinion of him. He is God, he is your Savior, and he died for you even while you were laughing at him, while you were mocking. Because his love is absolute and perfect and cannot be affected by any response. Jesus is Lord. That's the marvelous thing of it all. He is unaffected from the horizontal level. He gets it all from his Father in heaven, vertically. Is it right to pay taxes? There is a little bit in us that says, I wish he had said no, then I would be exempt of it. But that does not work like that. Jesus teaches them a marvelous lesson that they had totally ignored, that both Caesar and he are from God. Caesar represents the kingdom of God's power, the kingdom on the left, the state. And the church is the kingdom or the right hand of God, the kingdom on the right, the church. Through the state, the Lord, the same Lord, keeps discipline and order in the world. And through the church, he blesses the world and heals the world. We are simultaneously living in both realms, in the state and in the church. And in this center, we live under God in the world. And in the world, we live not according to the principles, the crooked principles of the world, but according to the holy principles of God. C.S. Lewis said, if people look at you, they should see God. So you are masks of God. Imagine that, to live your life. And we do. If we think and do and speak the things of God, then people will see God in us. So here is the scenario. They send the secondary team out there to tempt Jesus, and it backfires on them big time. Jesus asks for a coin, and they presently produce a coin, a denarius, with Caesar's picture on it, and said, this is Caesar. Give to Caesar what belongs to him, but to God what belongs to God. What is the currency of Caesar? Money, it's coins, the more the better. The happier the Caesar is with the more money you give to him. But the currency of God is hearts, the hearts of his people, hearts standing for our love to God, our acceptance of God, our submission to God. That is the currency of God. Arts. Money is not important to God. Do you know that money is not important to us either? It is secondarily important because we like to have Bibles and hymnals in our pew. We like heating and lights in our churches, and we like a roof that keeps the rain out. Not so in many congregations of our fellow Lutherans in Africa. They don't even have a church building. They have a designated tree. So when here we say, see you in church, they say, see you under the tree. Imagine that. And they, for the most part, squat under the tree or sit on logs. Once in a while, they have to shoo off a python that comes down from the tree, like it happened to a cousin of mine, when people started horrified, looked at him, and my cousin looked at the snake and said, that snake still causing problems since the Garden of Eden. The president gently grabbed it and released it in the bush, and the service continued. Same faith, same Lord, same forgiveness, and the same eternal light. Without a budget, without hymnals, they learn it all by heart. And you should hear them sing. And you should see them dance in the middle of the church, under the tree, that is. That is the currency of God. They are giving to God their hearts, their love, their worship, and their service. And that church is growing. Because when the other Africans that do not believe look at them, they can see God in the faces of your brothers and sisters with dark skin. God portrayed in a dark face. His light and immortality in the lives of the people. Give to God what belongs to God, Jesus says. You just sang, on my heart imprint your image. Well, if God stamps his likeness into my heart, it will reflect God. Love, forgiveness, tolerance, non-judgmentalism. It will portray the way God deals with us, the way we deal with others, based on the way God deals with us. So what do we take home from this lesson? We take home that we are citizens of both the state and the church. And we help the state to impose order and discipline. We are good drivers and we stop for the red and we go the speed limit or five over, but not more. And we are good citizens of the state. And yet, we are also citizens of the church. Both come from God. That's the lesson Jesus told these second team of the Pharisees that they sent out there. That's the lesson that you and I are reminded of today. We are simultaneously in the state and in the church. We keep the state, we pay the state, and we help the state to keep discipline. And we proclaim the word of forgiveness, that in Christ there is forgiveness by grace and eternal life. And that we proclaim to the world. And we bless the world. In other words, we write a check to Caesar, IRS, and we do so joyfully, and then we turn around and ask the neighbor, and what do you need? That's who we are. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.